And as you sit, we continue in prayer through this service, and we pray now. Father, we ask that you will speak into our hearts and lives, that you will guide us to be your people and give us wisdom about how to live, and that we will live in the glory of heaven and live seeking to bring that glory to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Every death from terror around the world, of course, is absolutely appalling. Again, last week, there wasn't just the Manchester atrocity. There was, as I'm sure you know, the killing of 20 Coptic Christians from a bus in Egypt. And so it will go on, and there'll be Muslims killed this last week as well in various conflicts in Iraq and Syria and so on. So every death is absolutely atrocious and appalling. But of course, we will feel it most when we're closest to home. So we will feel particularly the events of Manchester. And it will have the implications and reverberations will come out around feeding out far distance beyond Manchester. Our son-in-law, Dave, was a friend of Martin Hett from university and has been absolutely distraught about Martin's death. And so the agony, the grief goes on from these incidents. And it can be very easy then to start to think that that evil has got the grip and evil will prevail. But we celebrated another event last week, and that, of course, was the ascension of Christ. And we hold on then that heaven is a reality. There is this place of glory, unimaginable glory. There is peace, there is rest. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him, Paul in 1 Corinthians. A place of harmony of God and man together. A place that is, of course, heaven. And this is the place to which Jesus ascended, as we celebrated last Thursday night. And so we need to hold on to this reality of heaven and the place that we have there, and yet live in this world now, and bring, as we pray and work and live, more of this heaven to come to this earth. Because in God's mystery, his way, then there is a connection of heaven working through our time, our millennia, until all is fulfilled, and that heaven can be established. So live in the glory of heaven, but get on with the daily life of working for that heaven. And that is all kind of spelled out in the Acts reading, which we'll come to in a moment. But first of all, how do you know heaven exists? How do we know it is there? An atheist would just say that we're molecules and we'll just disappear and go and there's no life beyond. How do we know that there is this heaven, this greater reality beyond this life? We can. There are bits of evidence around, like near-death experiences. I've said before how Jenny and I have a friend, Bob, who nearly died in intensive care 18 months ago in Epsom Hospital. It was very much touch and go. And Bob, he's not a believer, he's still not a believer, but he relates how he had that experience of going down a tunnel, seeming to enter into another dimension before coming back up, returning to this existence. And there have been manifold examples of that sort of experience of near death and seeming to encounter another dimension that goes beyond death. And then if we want to speculate a bit more and just thinking, is there a heaven beyond this world, then maybe we can talk about the multiverse theory, the theory that there are parallel universes. I was just reading one article the other day. Professor Howard Wiseman, Dr. Michael Hall, they study quantum dynamics in America, and they wrote an article with Dr. Dirk Andre Deckett from the University of California. And they say that the only way to explain our existence is parallel universes, and that these influence one another through quantum mechanics, apparently. The only problem, according to the article I read about this, is that apparently nobody understands quantum mechanics. But never mind, because fortunately we do not have to understand such things to know the realities of our existence. And as I've said before, it does often seem to me that science and technology catches up with the insights of faith thousands of years later. And the faith then gives us this insight that there is this heaven, there is this other dimension beyond our reality now. The main way that we know and believe that heaven exists is, of course, through faith. But it's not blind faith. It is, as we've been saying over these weeks, and the sermon on doubt 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, that there are clear intellectual, academic, rational reasons why, historic reasons why we believe the Christian faith. But also we're saying that there are clear emotional reasons why we believe the Christian faith. And some people may say that's wishful thinking, but actually, if you think about who we are, it speaks deep into the core of our being. And that is why we'd say there's an emotional reason for believing these things to be true. All of us, however life it can be so good, and it is so good most of the time for most of us, and yet, do we not all feel at times a bit lost in this world, as if we are aching for another home that goes beyond? And then at the same time, are there not times as well where we're stunned as heaven seems to break through into our existence? There are moments of wonder, of brilliance, the miraculous occurring. And Jesus said these are signs, signs that there is this greater dimension beyond this world, the glory that is heaven. And so we believe by faith that this heaven exists, not blind faith, faith based on evidence, faith based on our daily experience. And then our faith tells us that all has been done, that we can enter into this heaven. Jesus' life, teaching, resurrection, and ascension speak that he is the way, and he has gone to prepare that coming together of that dimension that is heaven with this earth. We saw a couple of weeks ago the John 14 reading, the beautiful picture that Jesus goes ahead to prepare rooms for us in his Father's mansion. And the New Testament writers understand that when Jesus ascends, then that dimension of heaven and earth, then all is complete and done for us to enter into this heaven. The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus made one sacrifice for sins, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And that sitting down, the picture is then, if you sit down, it's done. The work is done. When Jesus dies and rises again and ascends, the work is done. So the way is there and ahead, but there has to be a working through now until all is complete in God's mysterious way, until we come to the end time. In the meantime, Paul tells us in Romans that Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us, literally looking after our interests. In other words, the dimension of heaven with Christ as Lord is there working through into this earth for that glory to be fulfilled in the final time. And so we are, then we can live in this reality through Christ, the reality of heaven. St. Paul tells us we are to live as citizens of heaven. Lift ourselves beyond the day. Lift ourselves beyond the world. Live as citizens of heaven. And that means the core of our being, our heart and our thinking, our mind, is focused on heaven, living in that glory. There are only 15 of us here on Thursday night. You missed a glorious service for Ascension Day. Not because it's glorious because of anything we did, but because of the wonderful prayers that have been gathered around Ascension. And here is one of them. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into the heavens, so we in heart and mind may also ascend, and with him continually dwell, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Hearts and minds living in the glory of heaven. And we're doing that as we set about doing it. It is a choice to set ourselves in that dimension of heaven. Then the mundane becomes glorious. The everyday becomes enlightened with the power of heaven. As we draw close to God and his heaven, heaven, God, draws close to us. So we can live in this reality, whatever is going on, whatever the evil that we see around us, we live in that reality and enjoy the glory. Heads and hearts fixed in heaven, but feet, for the time being, placed firmly on this earth. We are to continue to work away, work, live, and witness, and crucially pray for this heaven that has been fulfilled, that will work through into this earth. And if you look at the Acts reading, Jesus has to tell the disciples that this is the case. But watch, look out for the implication for you. If you see in verse 4, Jesus says, you can see what's happened. The resurrection has occurred. Glory is here. the way has been made for heaven, for you, for heaven, but it's not immediate now for you. You are to wait in Jerusalem for a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples still haven't got it. They think, well, you've risen from the dead. We believe that you're the Son of God. We believe you're the Messiah. And they say then in verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I take encouragement that after years of preaching here that it seems that so many people just don't get it, it seems to me, so quite often, I'm sure most of you do, but I take heart from Jesus because he lived 3 years with the disciples and they still don't get it. He's taught them, he's shown by example, he's served them, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he went to like a lamb to the slaughter in his death, and then the glory of the resurrection, and they still don't get it. It does not come by might and power. It does not come by the authorities. It comes by the power of love overcoming the love of power, as we saw in the Easter sermons. That was the revolution that Jesus brought. The great reformer Calvin said of the disciples' response, there are as many errors in this question as words. In other words, so they are expecting then Israel to be restored, to have its kingdom back, the Romans to be overthrown, and they're expecting that heaven to come now. And Jesus, of course, then has to tell them that that is not how it is. The fulfillment will come like a mustard seed growing from his life. The fulfillment will come like yeast working through societies and through the generations, through the hundreds of years, through the millennia. That is how the kingdom of heaven will come. Not just immediately like that. It doesn't just happen that power is overcome. It is not the love of power. It is the power of love that will work through. And Jesus has to tell the disciples, it's for God to know. God to know when the fulfillment will come. In verse 11, he says the fulfillment will come in the same similar way to the ascension occurs. In the ascension, there's this raising of Christ into the other dimension, and in the end time, then the other dimension that is heaven comes to the earth, and that is the end of history. And that will only happen, though, in God's time. What's happening in between? There's a working through, the mustard seed growing, the yeast permeating through all. And Paul says, again in 1 Corinthians, the end will come. Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. There has to be this working through of the power of love. And so Jesus tells the disciples, this is what you've got to do. You've got to get on in the power of love. You have got to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Start where you are and work through the world, witnessing to the Prince of Peace. The revolution has come. The way to heaven is there. And it is in the same way that Jesus did it, by living, serving, loving, caring all, loving enemy, forgiving those who persecute us. That is the way that the kingdom of heaven will come. But of course, do not think that you can do this on your own. If we try to do it in our own strength, it simply will not happen. You have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples take this message, they stand corrected, they realize that evil, the Roman authorities and all of that will not just go, they have to go and be together and pray and witness. Verse 12, they return to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. And they can surely see the significance. The place of suffering was the Mount of Olives. You remember Jesus pouring out in agony the night before he died. It was the place of betrayal where Judas led the Roman soldiers to him. So the place of suffering and betrayal, the Mount of Olives, has become the place of glory. And that is the promise, the hope for all places of suffering, that in Christ they will become the place of glory. They go then in joy, and they go in confidence that all will be fulfilled, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. They went back to Jerusalem and joined constantly together in prayer. And so how wise our archbishops have been to identify this week as a particular focus for our prayer, to follow the same example after the Ascension 2,000 years ago, to commit ourselves in prayer, to pray, to encourage one another, to pray for the victims of Manchester, the Coptic Christians, the victims in Iraq and Syria, pray wherever there is suffering, but also to pray for our church. Pray that we will be witnesses. We will pass on this faith to the next generation, faith will keep being passed on until the fulfillment comes and the end of history happens and heaven truly meets with earth. I don't know about you, but I have been encouraged in some ways about the reaction to Manchester. It does seem to me to have been quite Christian in a way that other cultures would not have been able to do. All the messages of love that have been expressed and saying love must prevail, that doesn't come from the cavemen. And to be honest, it doesn't come from other faiths either. In other cultures, that sort of atrocity would be met by cries of revenge and persecution and war and so on. And so the messages of love, somehow, the revolution, it does seem to me, has occurred, is occurring. The power of love, of Christ's example, the message, and the way has worked through into our culture. And that must be our deepest prayer too, that this power of love continues to work through in every situation, even when atrocity happens, knowing that sin has been removed, death has been overcome, evil does not have the final word. Amen.